Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of how to increase your child's chance of being saved. I think there's a tremendous responsibility that we as parents have to our children, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we fail to do that, we hurt them tremendously. Stand with me, if you will. Let's read together John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne this morning, Lord, I ask that you remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, I pray for the children that are being raised in this generation, Lord, that we might teach them the ways of God in truth. And Lord, I pray that you be with each parent, Lord, as we try to do our job and dispel our responsibility to train up our children in the way that they ought to go. Give us special grace to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have observed in the years of my life that there are different types of parents, and some parents diligently try to teach their children about the Lord. They take them to church. They study the Bible with them at home. They pray for them. They give them every opportunity to come to know Christ as Savior. Other parents completely neglect their children, or couldn't care less whether they ever go to church or not. And sometimes the parents themselves are lost and are totally indifferent toward God. And I have observed that those who diligently try to train their children the things of the Lord, those children are way more apt to be saved than those who are not. Children who are abused, children who are neglected, children who are not raised in church are way more apt to go to hell than children who are raised by godly parents. So this morning, what we want to look at is what we need to be doing to give our children the best possible chance of receiving Christ as their Savior. I want you to see in our passage here, the power that saves, the power that brings us to Christ is His power. It is not our power. Listen to what He says here in verse 14 through 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The power to save is in Jesus. And Him being lifted up on that cross, shedding His blood for the sins of the world, that's what makes salvation possible. Now I want you to look at John 12, 31 through 32. I want you to see the drawing power that the cross has. He says here in John 12, 31, 32, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me." God is in Christ drawing men to himself. The power to save is in Christ. The drawing to Christ is in Christ. In his cross, when he said, if I am lifted up on that cross, I will draw all men unto me. He also has the power to deliver us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The power to save is with Christ. The power to deliver us from our sinfulness and our sinful nature and our sinful desires, all of that, and to create the faith within us with which to believe, all of that is in God's power. But he also has the power to demand. And listen to Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God demands repentance. Without repentance, there is no salvation. And so we have got to prepare our children to understand this. God requires that we have a time of repentance before him, before we are saved. We must be drawn to him. We must have that faith created in our heart through the hearing of the word of God. And then we must repent of our sins and choose righteousness over sinfulness. Now, the purpose of the cross. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The purpose of the cross was to save mankind. God's love is what sent Jesus to the cross. He loves his people that he has created. He loves the whole world, and he sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And it is for that reason that he came. He did not come to condemn, but to save. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that Jesus came to seek. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to look us up. He came to look for us. And once he has found us, to draw us to himself that we might be saved. Romans 10:13, he came to save those who believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He goes on to say, how can they call on him in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher, somebody to tell them about Jesus? And he also came to sin. John 17:17 through 20 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus has called every one of us who know him as Savior and Lord to pass that on. It begins with our children, and then it spreads to all of our acquaintances and everyone within the sphere of our influence. We must share the good news of the gospel with all that we come into contact with. Now, what about the preparation for this? Listen to verses 18 through 21 of our text. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now I've asked myself many, many times, what is it that causes people who disregard God, who in a very real sense completely ignore God, what causes their children to be so apt to continue in their footsteps? Well, I believe that there's a couple of things. One is that sin is introduced very early into that child's life. And sin is very attractive because of our sinful nature. And because of our sinfulness, we have no desire to come to God. So it's a dangerous thing to introduce sin into your children's life. How do we do that? How do we introduce sin into our children's life? It's to sin before them. It is to sin in spite of them, to ignore our responsibility, to live selfishly and do what we want to do, no matter how it affects our children. That will introduce sin into their life. If you establish rebellion in your children's life by rebelling yourself, what can you expect from them but rebellion against God? In the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus describes four different types of soil upon which the gospel message will fall. And every one of those soils is a little different. But the one thing that they have in common is that they are problems that can be fixed. You see, every one of us have problems in our life that would exclude us from the gospel. But we can prepare that soul, and we should prepare that soul. When I was about 18 years old, I bought a farm. And I bought the farm real cheap because it was a real cheap farm. And it grew rocks. And I could pick the rocks up, and next morning after the rain, there's the rocks again. Who knew? You know. But in order for me to plant that field, I had to clean all those rocks up, get rid of them, and haul them off and haul them off and haul them off, so that when I sowed the seed, they would have something to get into. There were sections where there was briars and thorns and blackberry bushes. The seed couldn't even hit the ground because of all the matting of all this stuff. So we had to clean all that up. You see, your children are born with a sinful nature. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. There is all kinds of problems that have to be dealt with. And so we have to very carefully, just like if you're trying to prepare your soil for planting, you have to prepare your children for the gospel. And you have to start early. And whenever we do that, then we increase their chances of being good ground and receiving the gospel and receiving Christ as their Savior. Proverbs 22:6 tells us that we are to guide our children. We don't just leave it to chance. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you diligently train your children the things of the Lord, nobody can snatch that from them. Nobody can take it. If you fail to do that, who's going to do it? Who is going to take the place of mom and daddy if we don't train our children in the ways of the Lord? If we leave it to the world, they're going to train totally different than what should be trained. The Bible says we're to guard our children. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now notice what he's saying here. There is a way that we are to live our lives so as not to mislead our children, not to expose them to the wickedness of this world. We are to live our life in obedience to God before our children and for our children. It is not a surprise to me with the importance that the family has before God that the devil fights the family more than he fights anything in the world. Some people don't even bother to get married. They just live together, which totally is endangering their children. Some people live married but selfishly, so that if it doesn't feel good to me, I'm out of here. If it doesn't work for me, yon yon. Folks, we cannot afford to be selfish. We have got to sacrifice whatever it takes for our children to guard their hearts and to prepare them for the gospel message. Yes, sometimes there's going to be difficulties in marriage that you're not going to like. There's going to be sometimes when it's painful to get along with somebody that you really don't want to get along with. But you know what? It's your responsibility. You have to do that. I have to do that. All of us have to make a commitment, one to the other, for the sake of our children. God tells us to be careful who we marry on the front end. Because once we marry, it is extremely important that we stay in that position and we go forward and we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, it is absolutely necessary. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the standard has become. I don't care how prominent divorce is. God hates divorce. God hates putting away. God hates just throwing it to the wind and saying, hey, I'm out of here. I don't like the way things are going. I don't care what it does to my kids. I don't care what it does to my wife or husband. I want my way. Folks, that's all of the world. That's not of God. And it is destroying children. And we are to give rather than selfishly take. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 16. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now I want to show you something here. God has given tremendous power to partners in a marriage. Do you know that? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, the Bible says. Wives will respond to that. If a man unselfishly gives himself to his family, and he says, I don't care what I get out of it, I'm going to give everything I've got. I am going to completely love my family, sacrifice for my family, suffer for my family. God will empower that family, and it will work. If the wife says, I don't care what it costs me, I don't care how much I suffer, I am going to give of myself to my family, and I am going to live with my husband and love my husband no matter what his response is to me, God will bless that. And will bless that union. And will protect your children. But if we just live in our own little world, we say it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter whether I keep my family in church. It doesn't matter whether I love my spouse. It doesn't matter whether I teach the Word of God to my children. As long as I'm happy, that's all that matters. We're going to sacrifice our children. And we're going to lose them. And we're seeing evidence of that all across America today. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Fathers, we come before your throne. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on us. Lord, cause us to lay aside our own selfishness and give ourselves first totally to you and then to our families, that we might raise up a godly seed before you. And Lord, I pray for that one that's lost this morning, that you would touch their heart, that they might come to know Christ as Savior before it's too late. Draw sinners to yourself. Restore those that are saved that have strayed from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.